SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and I apologize. I'm waiting on the IT guy. I have no idea. Everything is fine early and was fine yesterday. So we'll plug along and try to, and at least hope it stays connected the best I can do. Andy had a thing at 10 o'clock, which is why we were getting to him before. So just to wrap up the rest of that action from Aqueduct on Saturday that I didn't really talk much about Monday, Tuesday, Vino Rosso with a dynamite return. And it wasn't necessarily blistering fast, per se, but certainly was a good way to come back, considering a lot of the four-year-olds haven't come back as, with a bang anyway. This was a very good performance, and he had to attend a pace, which isn't necessarily... it isn't necessarily his style, at least from last year anyway. But I had written, for those that played along, and we had a nice pick four on Saturday at Aqueduct, and was the best return really of the weekend, 670 back on the play. And Vino Rosso, when we talked with Dave Grenning, didn't necessarily think there was a lot of speed to attack. And then the more I looked at it, you did get the feeling that there was the potential for a couple of horses to kind of prompt the pace, and that is what happened. And a terrific ride by Johnny Velasquez from the outside, tucked in behind, and got really a perfect scenario for Vino Rosso's return. And he's comes back running. Heiko, of course, we already talked about, and we're going to talk about it with Sid here. Sid's waiting down in Ocala. Espresso Shot, and there were a lot of people that were on board for Espresso Shot's performance and expectation, and $10 and change for Espresso Shot, and Jorge Ebro, and the Mission Impassable, the New York bred, wins the Busher. Oxy Lady, as we had talked, Nick Tamaro, bringing Jack Sisterston, bringing him back to New York, and bringing her back to New York. And of course, the performance in the Tempted had been her her career best by far, and she ran very well, and really was kind of a hard luck second in here. Could very easily have won or a more. In fact, I talked with Jack Wolf, and there's Jack again in front of me, and we talked about Aura Moore and her effort, and they've got some expectation that this should be a good three-year-old season for her. And then, of course, Divine Miss Gray. I did see Danny Gargan. We didn't get a chance to have Danny sit down with us, but what a great job he's done with Divine Miss Gray, and on the wet track in the Heavenly Prize. Absolutely a terrific effort, and she reprises as the Heavenly Prize winner. Sid Fernando, who I had looked forward to sitting with and kind of co-hosting yesterday, didn't get a chance to do that, but Sid joining us from Ocala. He got there later in the afternoon, and Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I'm with Francis Karen, too.
Summer is one of the best.
Hi, Steve. Yeah.
How are you, Francis?
Not too bad. Enjoying the Florida weather.
Absolutely. And, of course, you guys got there yesterday afternoon, and you had your own million-dollar seller in the late portion of the day.
Yeah, actually, I flew in the night before, so I was here yesterday. The path that went through. I had heard about him, so I made it a point to get some pictures of him before he went through. He was something else.
Now, what was stunning and really surprising was the way in which the thing just careened through the through the seven figures, up to $2 million. Becky Thomas had been with us on Monday, and she was hoping that it would the potentially could top the 800,000 top seller from last year's March sale, and she thought maybe $1 million, $1.1 million. So for this to hit $2 million, it was stunning, and we were playing it on the air. We picked up the feed, and it was really fun. But just usually when you start to get to that scenario, they have to kind of work, from 200 to 300 to 4. This raced through the hundreds of thousands, over $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it went from 850 to $1 million, and it took a big jump right there, which is always exciting, and that it's going to really keep going when somebody makes a bid that big, $150,000 bid there like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting pedigree too, Steve, because this Tappet has some inbreeding to AP Indy, right, Francis?
Yeah, I think it's 3x3, the second dam by AP Indy. And of course, Tappet is by Pulpit by AP Indy. So.
Yeah. What else struck you, Sid, start with you a little bit. What else struck you from the results? And of course, you went to Craig Burnick's crawfish boil later in the evening. What was the, what was the overwhelming conversation?
Well, I think, in general, the people are really pretty surprised with, pleasantly surprised with everything that's happened. The horses are really bringing good prices, Steve. If you noticed, from the Tappet at the top end, check out a horse like Tappature. Stands at Darby Dan, son of Tappet, for $7,500. And, I think you'll see there's a $250,000 sale there. Wicked Strong, first crop sire, had, what was that, Francis, a
425?
425.
They paid 30 for the yearling.
Yeah, paid 30 for a yearling. There was that the $70,000 horse that was pinhooked for 550.
Justin Phillips.
Well, that's my friend Aaron Yagoda, and was kind of right up on that, watching at Pat Hoppel's station, and the horse was being he was being scoped three at a time. It was ridiculous. Well, and after a while, Pat, after the horse had been brought out constantly, late in the afternoon on Sunday or Monday, after nine scopes and I think three heart scans, he said, "That's enough. The horse has had enough."
Yeah.
Pat Hoppel is the Gary Cooper of. Of consigners, he's the quiet man, and I got a big kick out of that.
Yeah.
Said, come back in the morning, give the horse a break.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. And at the crawfish boil, you had Jack Wolf was there last night.
No, he's standing in front of me.
There. Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to say hi to him yesterday, but I saw him there. Craig Burnick, obviously the host. I think he's over there with you guys.
He's right here too. They're about to go into their session.
Yeah, and it was a really good group of people over there. It's a beautiful farm. It was formerly a Green Tree Stud training center, and that's when Leonard Lavin bought it in the mid '60s. And it's just a gorgeous facility. And it was just, really great to see a lot of people over there. Walker Hancock, obviously, Evely Bell from Mill Ridge. A lot of Kentucky people were here. Phil Hager. It's been buoyant. And we're back here at the sales. If you're hearing background noise,
sure.
We've been trying to find a quiet spot here. But it's hard to do.
Well, maybe Francis wants to. Maybe you guys want to do it from inside the ice cream wagon, because Francis obviously
That was good ice cream. I didn't know he was taking and tweeting a picture of me.
That was great. Sid, a couple of thoughts as well about some individual things that I thought that were kind of notable. And Emmanuel Desiru and Narvik and buying for the new client, the Middle Eastern stable, he spent a good deal of money, $650, $600, $300, $240, and I imagine he's not done. I thought that was a story worth noting.
Yeah, that was something Francis and I were just talking about. It. Who's that buyer, Francis? Do you remember?
It
was a Middle Eastern buyer that neither one of us are familiar with.
It's a new quote unquote,
so it's new. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah,
His Royal Highness Prince Sultan bin Michal Assad.
What country?
Well, I'm going to say Saudi Arabia. I'm imagining.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So this again, new foreign money at the top. Of course, Emmanuel Desiru is a leading foreign agent and does a lot of work for.
So is our president.
Terry Yoshida of Shaddai. It just shows you the international reach right now.
Well, and of course, Phoenix as well. Phoenix for that Bernardini for $8.25. Larry Best. Larry Best hasn't met a $1.2 million buy he doesn't like.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And apparently I almost ran over Larry Best in the parking lot yesterday, Francis told me, on my bike. I had no idea.
I said, please don't do that.
But no, he's a welcome addition. You know, how about, there was a little article that Jim Dunleavy wrote about Alan Goldberg, and I thought, we all had thought with Jorge... I'm going to forget his last name. Duarte, with him taking over the training for Rich Santulli and Colts Neck. But apparently Alan got a freshening. It took some time away and now is back. But I saw Charlie Bowden was buying horses for Santulli. Signed a couple of tickets for Colts Neck.
Yeah, he did. And in fact, he was one of the people we spoke to at the Crawfish Boil last night. As far as, Alan Goldberg is concerned, I think he's very tight with Santulli. And, it was, like you said, more freshening because they're very, very long time loyalists together. And even the Wise Boards, for example, are very close with him. As Santulli is with Wiseboard. I think that was just a well put freshening before coming back together again.
I also wanted to bring up with you a couple of specific hips and a couple of results that I thought were very interesting. How about Caracante? With a $365,000 seller, and it would seem at this point that Seth Klarman is making a habit of buying individuals from the most obscure corners of the stallion spectrum, a $270,000 filly by Majestic City. The New York bred that stands at Quest Royal and was actually a $100,000 yearling at Saratoga last year, so it was obviously a standout, right from early on.
Right.
Absolutely, and the best one of the best parts about this is Trackside Farm comes into play, and I Majestic City was a. Was an Evans and Trackside production, and he was a nice horse and a City Zip, and of course with City Zip gone from the rosters, not going to make any more of those, as Glenn E. Kane Oakford used to say. The sons of City Zip getting attention, and this is I think the first flare. to notice.
Yeah, and it's a really good point you make about Seth Farm and buying these types of horses. He's had success with them. I mean, his last, think about the notable success of Cloud Computing, first crop, son of the Hillendale horse, McLean's Music.
Right.
He shipped only $6,500 at the time. And that Cloud Computing was like a $300,000, you know, a high price, excellent, well-made individual with some family from a young sire that isn't well-known. That's a pattern that applies to this Majestic City as well as the Caraconte. Caraconte, of course, is well-known, but Turf Horse worked extremely well on this surface here, under 10, I believe. And, you know, so he's making a habit of picking the horses on physique and performance if they're a two-year-old sale. And he's really not concerned about whether it's the first crop sire or not.
Didn't he also, he paid big money for, I want to say either, was it a custom for Carlos, or and there was also a Frisian Fire that he paid top dollar for.
Yeah, and the custom for Carlos is the one that won the grade one.
Pattern recognition?
Yeah.
No.
That's IDO's Charlie, but the same type of thing.
Okay,
you know?
There you go. Yeah. All right, I knew it was, you know, it was a regional sprint type. There's a line that always has stuck in my head. Ian Fleming, I think it's in Goldfinger. The line: the first time is happenstance, second time is coincidence, third time is enemy action. And
yeah.
This is, I think Seth Klarman's making a distinct point here. You know, he's picking out these individuals and, you know, paying what feels like big money for the specific.
Yeah, exactly.
But not necessarily for the end product.
Right. Yeah. No, it's really smart buying, and the success. If we were to actually sit down and go through a bunch of them, it would probably stand out even more. But that's the pattern that he has. You know, Adios Charlie, McLean's Music. You know, I mean, it's just. If you go back and even look at a horse like Read the Footnotes, which was his, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was.
Yes.
It's that pattern exists where he's paying the money for the individual, the horse, and many times they're young first crop sires.
Yeah, just notable, and of course today second half goes through, and we'll get a chance to recap everything next week. But the two-year-old in training sale season underway at OBS, and underway with a couple of big seven-figure sellers. Really fun. I'm sorry we missed you guys yesterday. Really enjoyed the 2.5 days, Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday there. And one more time, thank you to Tom Ventura and Todd Wojciechowski and the whole team. Really, what they've done to that facility is spectacular.
Oh, the facility is incredible. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, Sid, sorry I missed you, but we'll hook up another time.
Absolutely, and maybe at for the Gulfstream sale in a couple of weeks. Sid, I've got a conversation coming up with Colonial Downs with John Marshall and Jill Byrne, and they're on a little bit of a tight window. But let me quickly get a couple of thoughts from you on the three-year-old scene and the Tacitus victory, of course, in Tampa. And then you had Heichel, the Daher, and the Shadwell homebred. Any quick thoughts about what we saw Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, the Tappet Colt for Mott, Judd Mott, you know, again, Tappets are really percolating right now. And, you know, he's a horse that's just going to love distance, in my opinion. You know, Mott has obviously several horses in the pipeline, but this particular Colt, way he won on that track, is extremely promising. Haikal is by, who is Haikal by?
Daher.
Oh, Daher, right.
Grade 1 winning Full Brother to Sun Sugar.
Yeah, Grade 1 winning Full Brother to Sun Sugar. You know, practically the only people that use Daher are Shadwell, because they stand him for what Francis likes.
He actually is now standing in Louisiana this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did you hear that? He's standing.
Yeah.
They retired him in 2008 for $30,000, and he bred 7 mares.
Yeah.
Five foals.
How about that?
Grade three, multiple grade 3 winner, grade one place, Gypsy Robin.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's just, really, I think he's done pretty well for the amount, you know, what he's bred.
Yeah, and Shadwell continues to use him, right? A limited amount,
yeah.
So he's in Louisiana now. Of course, he benefited from that furious pace. Instagram, of course, he looks more like a sprinter miler at this point, Steve. It's true for the sire, too, Into Mischief. Fantastic Stallion, stands for $150,000. Gets the quote-unquote Saturday afternoon horse all day long, but mostly sprinter milers. But I'll let you get going because I know you're in a rush, but thanks for getting us in. Right, Francis?
Mm-hmm.
Always a treat, and enjoy today, and then Sid will recap next week because we'll also have two winners from the Rebel. Maybe. I haven't gotten word yet from Hot Springs about where they stand with the potential split, but I got a feeling. I think there'll be some three-year-olds rounded up. There might be an Archie bred in there that rounds out the fields. But Sid Fernando and Francis Caron in Ocala, and follow them. And, of course, Sid and Work Thoroughbred Consultants. And we got plenty to talk about, actually. I had some interesting breeding farm discussions as well while I was there. And the pinhook season, they're hitting the end zone as well. We'll do all of that when we're together next, Sid and Francis.
Good.
Thanks a lot. Let's stay right here. And sitting in front of me is, the management team of Colonial Downs. And, there you go. And now you're live in front of me. John Marshall, you're good, I think, John. Say hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us, Steve.
Oh, my God. My pleasure.
Jill Byrne, Vice President of Racing Operations at Colonial Downs.
Any experience with a microphone, Jill?
A lot, yeah. It says it's on.
It's on. No, you're great. No, I'm kidding. I'm just saying you're.
There we go.
You're 100%.
Not my first rodeo.
Exactly. Exactly. And John, for you though, and the Revolutionary Racing team. I mean, talk about. We all know what transpired, but I don't know all that much about the backstory, the forming of the team and you guys getting involved.
Steve, the revival of live racing at Colonial Downs is about to unwind. I'd like to start with that. How we got there is not as important as where we are and where we're about to go. Our company has invested $150 million so far of a $300 million investment in Virginia.
Nice. When did this first even get on your radar? And had you considered other venues? And what was the motivation and the harmonies that came together that got you involved in this?
Well, what came together was this tremendous opportunity, an industry first, to return a racetrack to live racing, and it's got to be the biggest thing to happen in horse racing, possibly second to only the opening of Kentucky Downs. But to return a live thoroughbred track to racing in the way that we've done it and the way we're about to continue to do it is amazing.
Yeah. And you certainly are accruing a team that has got experience. And, Jill, for you, and I think everybody that saw your hiring and the quotes involved about you going home to Virginia, this was a fascinating opportunity, I imagine, for you. And talk about latching on and what your thoughts are here just a few weeks into it.
Well, I mean, you've known me a long time in this industry, and what a lot of people don't know is that I grew up in Virginia, in Charlottesville area. All my family involved in the horse industry. My dad, two-time Eclipse Award trainer. My mom, all my family involved in horse racing and the horse industry. I was riding horses in the Virginia fields when I was 2-3 years old, and kind of growing up at Montpelier, which Marion DuPont Scott, so a big supporter of horse racing there. My dad trained at Montpelier and then, you know, moved on to New York. So I have a long history of Virginia racing, the Virginia horse industry, a lot of people that I've grown up with that are Virginia residents that support the horse industry. So for me, this is an opportunity to come home and to really represent the industry revival of racing in a state that just has such a history and passion for it. So to be a part of this with a team at Colonial Downs that is investing not only, you know, a great deal of money in the industry and in the state of Virginia, but also investing a lot of emotion and promotion of the industry in a time when we really need it. So it's a great opportunity for me to come home and do something that, as you know, is just in my heart and soul.
The fact that facility, particularly with that double-wide turf course, generally acknowledged as, if not the best, one of the top two or three turf courses in the country, and with turf racing's absolute renaissance in this country, it just felt like it was such a waste to have it, you know, to have the facility sitting there. So, and granted, the facility is oddly situated where it was built at the time, and how not awkward it is to get there, but it takes an effort to get to New Kent.
But the horsemen, they know it. They know it well. Even people that are new trainers that weren't around when Colonial was running, they know the reputation of the facility, of the turf course, what it offers. And you look at some of the champions that have raced there, Kitten's Joy, you know, Gio Ponti, and Dale Romans has won the Virginia Derby 3 times, Bill Mott. You know, 3 times we've had some of the best horsemen, best horses race over that course. And I can say from firsthand experience of covering the racing previously when it was there, but now being there and walking on that turf course, it is an overwhelming sight to look down that stretch and see this incredible course. So I think horsemen are really excited, and as you mentioned, with turf racing being so strong now since Colonial closed, just look at in the last 5 years what turf racing, the expansion of turf racing. So we have that to offer with, you know, 10 lanes possible of racing on there, a fantastic purse structure, stake schedule. So I think the horsemen are just, the support we've got from the horsemen of returning racing to Colonial Downs, and especially that turf course, is immense.
Talk about a couple of the challenges and some of the responses that you have made collectively. One of them is a really generous and forward-thinking tie-in to the TAA, Jack Wolf here, and you know, talk about the HBPA and the tie-in, you know, to the Aftercare Alliance and how you structured what should be, you know, a very nice income flow for them.
Sure, Steve. We agreed with the HBPA, the Virginia HBPA, to a $15 per starter contribution from the horsemen for every starter, and at the end of the meet, Colonial Downs will match that that contribution to the TAA. And the intention is for those dollars to be reinvested in aftercare efforts within the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Specifically Virginia, whether it's breeders, owners, anybody that horses coming off off the track for the horsemen.
Right.
On that topic, Jill, and that is one of those other challenges, beside, you know, those kinds of things that are tangential, actual horses. And give everybody an update on the dates and the way in which racing will be reintroduced at Colonial, and then what the intermediate plan is for, you know, for the meets that will come afterward.
Well, I can speak on this year specifically. So live racing will return on August 8th through September 7th, and we'll race 3 nights a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with a post time of 5 o'clock, except for Labor Day, which our post will be 1 o'clock. We anticipate probably 80% of those races will be on our turf course because we have the great, you know, luxury of utilizing that turf course. We have a phenomenal stakes schedule being put together. The return of the Virginia Oaks and the Virginia Derby will both be on August 31st.
The Commonwealth? What about the Colonial Cup?
No, the Virginia Oaks and Virginia Derby.
Okay, so the older horse, the race
with undercard stakes that will support older horses on the turf for that night as well. So we plan on having four stakes races on August 31st, but a very solid Virginia bred stakes program.
The Brookmead
leading
and all
up
the,
to that,
all of those races that were up that were being run.
All
in
those
Maryland.
Races that, you know, have been transferred elsewhere while Colonial Downs was not in operation, and the stable area will open around July 25th. We've hired Allison DeLuca as our racing secretary. Everybody very familiar with her as the racing secretary at Tampa.
Sure.
Assistant racing secretary Churchill, Keeneland. You know, Allison's been in this industry for a very long time, has an impeccable reputation and credibility among the horsemen, and is absolutely ecstatic to be a part of the team returning racing to Colonial Downs. We've hired a track superintendent, Ken Brown, out of Maryland. He's been the track superintendent at Canterbury and has helped Laurel out as well. He was on the original team that helped build Colonial Downs under world-famous track superintendent Frank Passero.
Yep.
So we're bringing in all the right people to make sure, you know, in today's industry, that we have a very safe surface, a lot of upgrades being done to the entire stabling facility, the track itself, and just bringing everything back to life. New tote boards. We're going to be broadcasting in HD, new video boards.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's just such an exciting time for me, as you know, in this industry. But yeah, looking forward to this year and a purse structure that is going to be over, you know, around $500,000 a day giving away. So when you put that comparatively with the meets at Saratoga, Del Mar, you know, we are right up there with them, and horsemen are very excited about that.
How difficult do you expect it to be to attract horses, knowing that there's already been, from what I understand, threats from virtually every mid-Atlantic location about horses if they're going to leave to run at potentially Colonial, whether it's from Delaware or from Laurel or from Monmouth, etc. How do you deal with this and try to gain cooperation, you know, when you're trying to basically reestablish yourself, and no question, horses follow money, and you know, there's going to be certain sets of connections that will absolutely battle back against the authority of racing offices. But it is, John, I mean, it is going to be an issue. I mean, it was a competitive landscape even before Colonial took the hiatus.
It's a good point, Steve, and it's one that we're not ignoring. But the one thing that we can control are the things within our control, and that's putting up the best possible purse opportunities, the best possible condition book, the best possible surface, building the best possible team to support it, and that's what we're doing. We're focusing more on what we can control, a lot less than what we can't.
Sure.
And we'd like to leave it up to the horsemen, the trainers, the owners to decide where they like to run their horses. And we talk about it all the time between Jill and the team that Colonial Downs is the land of the free. We're not going to lock you in our stable. We're not going to lock you out of our stable. We're not going to tell you need to run X number of times to get stalls next year. That's not what we're about. We're about being the place to be, a nice, casual, relaxing place for horsemen to come enjoy training, racing their horses, and that's our outlook.
And a good neighbor. You know, a lot went into the decisions on the stakes schedule to work in cooperation and collaboration with the other Mid-Atlantic schedules as well, how that can balance out so we're not competing for the same horses. So a lot went into that, and you know, just being a neighbor to Maryland, to all the other jurisdictions in the Mid-Atlantic, but also putting Virginia horsemen in the spotlight as well.
It is, and I don't remember from last summer. Is Park still taking that August hiatus?
Yes, they're taking that off, and Timonium runs a couple weeks in the middle of our meet as well. So, you know, there's opportunity, but as John mentioned, you know, we can only control what we can control, and be open arms and welcome everybody in.
I would think that the Philadelphia-based horsemen who don't have, there's not a great turf course at Parks. They use it They don't use it a lot because it doesn't hold up great. It doesn't have. They don't have an actual physical sprinkler system. They've got a portable sprinkler system. I would think that the Philadelphia Horsemen with turf horses will be very much on the coming down 95 on a regular basis.
We certainly hope so, and I know Allison is reaching out to everybody, and she again has such a great reputation with all the horsemen, so she's got a big outreach program going right now, as do all of us at Colonial, to make sure horsemen around the country, we're reaching California, everywhere, to anybody who wants to come in and enjoy racing for a good purse over fantastic turf course with a great environment. So I think the reach will go further. We will be providing some, travel stipend incentives.
Nice.
As well. So to be competitive.
How many stalls?
We have a total of about 900 stalls.
That's a good barn area.
Barn area is so serene and horse friendly. Grass everywhere for grazing. Nice barns. We're doing a lot of refurbishing.
Sure.
Fixing up things on the backside. Dormitories for the help, two dormitories with bathhouses. So it is a very comfortable setup for horsemen to ship into and stay throughout the entire meet.
Let's also fold in the burgeoning inter-track wagering system that was, frankly, the only lifeline that helped keep things going for the Virginia Equine Alliance, and the opening of some of these Rosie's OTBs basically around the state of Virginia. I mean, Virginia has been an untapped market on that front, and certainly up Leesburg, Northern Virginia. It's preposterous that there's no way to bet in Northern Virginia. With all of those people that live there that are from different parts of the country, the fact that they can't make a bet has been insane. So. And also, I want you to talk about, with the advantage you do have from the anticipated revenue from the historic racing, an aggressive takeout structure to attract players as much as you can.
Yeah, to address your first question, Steve, the rollout of Rosie's Gaming, which is our HHR facilities, is a very aggressive one. We're opening our Rosie's facility at Colonial Downs in late April. Secondly, we're opening Rosie's Vinton early May. Third, Rosie's Richmond in late June. Fourth, Rosie's Hampton in late September. And fifth, Rosie's Chesapeake in a date to be determined. So throughout the Commonwealth, we'll have nearly 3,000 units, HHR terminals throughout the Commonwealth that will contribute to horse racing and will be part of the revival and a part of our success for live racing.
Talk about the wagering menu and how much of that. I mean, do you have a simulcast director and so forth? And a
mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something I've been involved in.
I was going to say, of course,
well, yeah. We do. We have a team already on board, that handles simulcast, and people that have been with Colonial throughout the entire time, and with the VEA, the Virginia Equine Alliance, so supporting that. And people love. My mom is one. She's been a great supporter of Virginia throughout Colonial. Being down, she goes to one of the OTBs there with all of her friends, and they've been supporting racing throughout. So looking forward to being able to come back to live racing, but also enjoy Rosie's as well and the OTBs along the way.
Talk about the betting menu and how aggressive you'll be in terms of pricing on your bets. It's not determined yet?
Our wagering menu will be with what we have with our horseman's agreement, which a traditional offering of your pick threes, pick fours, pick fives.
Sure.
All of your traditional wagering menu offers, and hoping to do some maybe cross-country type of wagering as well. So all of that in flux, but we do have an agreement of what our wagering menu is to be, and yes, it will be offering all the bells and whistles that everybody's accustomed to, especially people seem to love the pick five. I know that's a very, very popular wager. So we'll be aggressive with our wagering menu and make sure to have something for everybody.
Well, excited to. I've not been to Colonial.
You've never been?
No.
I can't believe that. All your travels?
One of the other portions of this that I saw late yesterday, in fact, I don't want to let the nice news from the NSA go unreported either, because Guy Torsiglieri and the steeplechase team, you're going to have a regular chasing schedule.
We are, yeah, working with the NSA to have two races every Saturday, at two steeplechase races every
Terrific.
Saturday at Colonial Downs. So they're very excited about that. Steeplechase in Virginia has such a history and such a support. And also a lot of the people with the steeplechase horses support flat racing as well. So it's a great partnership for that. And they're very excited to bring steeplechase racing back to that area. And we're really looking forward to it.
Well,
that's where my background. I grew up doing that, so you know, maybe I'll put my boots back on, get out there.
All right. Well, just don't. We don't want you jumping fences. That's...
You know, Steve, the 5 o'clock post is something that we also think is unique.
Yeah.
When you talk about the caliber of racing that we're about to put on at 5 o'clock, there's not a lot of twilight turf available out there.
Well, and Presque Isle has shown that window. It was really a cultivatable row. I mean, to hoe. It makes a lot of sense at the end of at the end of some of the big signal on the East Coast, and then the West Coast action is rolling. Del Mar will be will be well underway, and you'll integrate right into that. I like that. I mean, it's and you got the great lighting system, so it's a winner. I everything about this is a home run. You mentioned the horsemen. You should also, I've certainly mentioned the names and Debbie Easter over these last several years, Frank Petromalo around as well. Acknowledge who has been instrumental in keeping this, keeping the flame alive and putting the framework in place so that it's really so seamlessly been executed.
Oh, absolutely. It's astonishing to us that Debbie Easter, Frank Petromalo, and the horsemen in Virginia have been able to keep an industry going without hosting live racing in their state for so long. Things like the residency program and other initiatives that Debbie, Frank, and Jeb Hannum have put together over the last 5 years have been amazing. Unbelievable that they've been able to keep it going this long, and we're happy to be here partnering with them on the revival.
Outstanding. And of course, we mentioned Jonathan Thomas's dad,
JD.
JD Thomas, the burn on the turf course. And
you'll have to come. You should come visit when we do the burn.
That is so fun.
Well, it's set up for a great media event, Steve.
Oh, no doubt. And he's been maintaining the lawn for these 5 years.
He has been a wealth of knowledge, and he is directly involved with our track maintenance and bringing the track back to life again, working with Ken Brown, just spending a couple hours with JD walking through the turf course and the main track as well. So interesting to learn what he does to prepare that to be two of the best surfaces in the country. So a lot going into that. We're very aware of track safety, and that will be our first order of business to make sure that we provide the safest facility and the safest track surfaces for our horsemen.
Well, I can't wish you any more success and luck than I already have. I'll reiterate, I think it's one of the really pleasant and happy results, particularly in the Northeast, to have Colonial come back, because I think people had completely written off, and just because it didn't seem that the gaming side of it had any hope at a certain point, and then all of a sudden it did, and it's kind of amazing the way you were ready to strike, John, and that's a testimony to you and your team
and the Virginia Racing Commission as well. D.
Yeah.
Van Cleef,
oh, certainly.
David Lerman.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, just a strong group with a passion for the industry that helped bring this back to life.
Yeah, Colonial Downs has sat idle for far too long, and it's only appropriate for Jill Byrne to carry the torch, beginning with the ceremonial burn of the turf course.
But Bob, he'll be here all week, folks. He'll be here all week. Unbelievable. John Marshall, Revolutionary Racing, was that just a working name? Is that name dissipate now?
No, believe it or not, that is the name.
Okay, it is. So that'll be maintained as the corporate entity.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about Revolutionary.
Or is that?
Well, Marshall is a very famous name in Virginia.
I thought you were talking about the name John Marshall.
Oh, no.
Ask me, is your name really John Marshall?
Well,
I said, yeah, of course it is. Strangely enough, in Virginia, my name's John Marshall, and I never have a problem getting a reservation in town.
That's funny.
But the name Revolutionary Racing, our parent company is Peninsula Pacific Entertainment.
Okay.
So that's our parent company, and Colonial Downs Group is the subsidiary,
okay,
which I head up with Jill's support to revive live racing at Colonial Downs
it's
2019.
Done. It's mark it down and include it. If you've never been, you're going to want to go. Everybody loves it. One thing we didn't say about the 5 o'clock start. It might be 3 degrees cooler at 5 o'clock
anywhere around the country in August, you know, except maybe Del Mar. You can predict some warm weather. So that was certainly, you know, one of the factors that went into it. It's a great time. Yeah,
no, it's a win.
It's a great ship-in time too.
Absolutely,
right. The beach traffic and others. So you know, a lot of work went into that with the horsemen to help make that decision. Trying to be, you know, everything is about being horseman friendly, industry friendly, and putting on a great product for people to wager on.
Our friend Joe McKay, who's up in the Baltimore area, Joe is wondering if there's going to be a tournament you're going to tie in at all with NHC, BCBC.
We're working with the NTRA now and have had discussions about hosting an NHC tournament there as well. So Michelle Ravencraft, I'll get with her.
Sweet.
And Keith and the group at NTRA, and we'll certainly want to put some things together to tie in with that.
Tremendous.
Because it's a fantastic tie-in.
Well, excited for you both and for everybody that is going to get a chance. And, I mean, the jobs and everything that it does for the region and for horsemen up and down the Eastern Seaboard, Colonial Downs, CNL. You'll see. I don't know how many horses are out there running that have still have CNL in their PPs.
CNL.
That'll be fun.
I love that.
Yeah, that's the absolutely.
Yeah, if they do, yeah, that would be a while. But I remember
there's a couple of 6 and 7 year olds, that probably had, you know, a 2 year old.
You look back at the horses, the horsemen, jockeys that have participated there in the past. It's a very, very big list of support.
Who's who? Absolutely.
Yeah, Chad Brown wasn't even training last time Colonial was running, so looking forward to Chad and his arsenal of turf horses.
There you go. Well,
coming to visit us at Colonial.
Good, absolutely. Well, because I don't know if he can put 8 in the Saratoga Oaks and the Saratoga Derby, the new the new sequence. So yeah, there's probably going to be some that will head down your way. I can't wait to get down there, and really pleased to be able to get all the I's dotted and T's crossed. Colonial Downs opening the facility in April, just in time for Derby. You should have a big Derby party, I imagine,
right,
and Triple
time.
Crown season, and then August 8th through September 7th through Labor Day weekend. Guys, best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marshall,
Steve.
Jill Byrne, and everybody. We're going to take a break. We're at HBPA. They're just starting the keynote session, and Jack Wolf and Craig Burnick and more will come back and catch up with Cheltenham and Pete Fornatel, who's out in the countryside, probably hoisting pints as we speak, back after this to Clearwater.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier 3-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and 3-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited